Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Cover with Jamie and Michelle. We're so excited you could join us today for our show titled Keyboard, Fingers Ready, and Action, a show dedicated to action and novel writing. I'm one of your hosts, paranormal romance, mystery, action, and dystopian author Jamie Brumfield.
And I'm Michelle Gwynn, writer of criminal suspense, horror, science fiction, and supernatural action and adventure.
We are honored to have special guests J. Rose Alexander and Kelly Cazone with us today. But before we get into the action, just a quick shout out to our fans. We love having audience participation, so if you'd like to join in, please tweet us using the hashtag C2CJM, stands for Cover to Cover with Jamie and Michelle. That's hashtag C2CJM during our live broadcast. Your comments and questions may make the show, and you may even become our Twitter star of the week. So let's take a moment and get to know our guest authors. Jen, J. Rose Alexander, tell us about yourself and your book.
Hi. Let's see. I am an author of paranormal, urban fantasy, science fiction, romance, erotic romance, and I think that's everything. Oh, alt history. How could I forget alt history? And I have out a book called Shadow and Glass, which is my alternate history, and I have one superhero that just came out. I have a short story in an anthology in that same universe. And I'm working on my urban fiction, so hopefully soon.
Sounds awesome. And how about you, Kelly?
Well, I write romantic suspense and women's lit. I currently have my tropical series out, which is a romantic murder mystery filled with betrayal and all kinds of things set in St. Lucia. And I have a second suspense mystery series coming out in about 2 months. And the first book with that is Blind Attraction.
Oh, I think this is the first time we heard about that one.
Yep, I haven't announced it yet.
We got an exclusive.
We got an exclusive on our Well, we are so honored to have both of you. Jen and Kelly, you are both prolific authors, and we love having you on the show. It's going to be a great show. As mentioned earlier, the topic of the show is action. I personally love writing action in my books. Even the romances, while steamy and sexy, still have a fair amount of action to help move along the plot. While the action in my book contains battles and fist fights, sword fights, and general kick-buttedness, for the most part, it's not the only kind of action that can be used to help move a plot along. Let's start by talking about the action you put into your book. Jen?
I'll use just about any kind of action. I've done car chases. I've done sword fights. I've done gun fights. I've done space battles. I've done... we're getting into some of our superpower fights now. Let's see.
Superpowers.
Superpowers. Yes, our metahumans or our mutants. It's an argument. I also tend to use a lot of mystery and dialogue. I use dialogue to move things along too. So.
Absolutely. And what about you, Miss Kelly Kell? How do you incorporate action into your tropical series?
Well, my specialty is I blow a lot of things up. and I have a lot of gunfights and attacks, kidnappings. And I also use conspiracy and the whole suspense twist. You never know what's going to happen next in my books. And that's pretty much how I build up the suspense. I'm either surprising you mentally or blowing something up.
Well, we like stuff to blow up. That's fun. Only in books.
And superpowers.
Yes. Superpowers. Yeah, I haven't ventured into that yet.
There's time. There's time, Kelly.
It sounds like we got a great mixture of authors on here. How about you, Michelle? How do you take that action into your book?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm not a violent person in my real life, but man, you wouldn't know it if you read some of my books. there's usually some kind of an issue being taken out on a character, but it has to be part of the story. You know, it just like sex in books, you can't have gratuitous sex that doesn't somehow move along and advance the plot. Same thing with your action. Your action has to move along and advance the plot. So I've done a lot with criminal gunfights, which led to a lot of research into guns, and which is strange because you would think I would know something about guns because my dad always had guns. He used to collect them, and he carried one all the time, which honestly, just guns scare the bejesus out of me. But you know, I also do sword fights and using all kinds of different ancient axes and what have you in my Angel Short, Angelic Host series. And like Jen, you know, I've ventured into some stuff blowing up alien style in my horror sci-fi because that's just cool. Who doesn't like that? But yeah, I've had, you know, a mix of, you know, hand-to-hand combat, weapons, and supernatural stuff, and then alien craziness. So, yeah. What about you, Ms. Jam Jam?
Oh, I tell you, I love action, and I think anybody who's read my books knows that action is like a cornerstone of pretty much every book. You know, when you blend in paranormal creatures and then ancient Greek gods, what can you have but not action? You know, there's a lot of, you know, and then I throw in the romance, and the romance is usually the main story, but the action, for me, I think the battles that I produce, which are sometimes both in reality and also alternate dimension realities, as in the case of the Winter Saga, or as in the case of some of my romance books, like The Witch's Vampire, some of the battles happen in dreams. And so I kind of take different realms. Even my newest book that's set to release next month or this month, Father Made Me Do It, the battles happen in the underworld, hell. So I definitely, but what I like to do with my action is if I feel like a story is getting stagnant, that's my page turner go-to is the action. And I think that's why a lot of people who read my books, or I try to at least with my fans, is to create page turners. And the page turners come from the action and the romantic suspense.
Yeah, that's true.
When you said the story is getting a little slow, the first thing that popped into my head was, blow something up!
Yes! That's true.
It's very true.
Make something happen. Introduce a new character or introduce some kind of an action sequence to really just... And the best thing to do is... And I know Jamie does this a lot in her books. When she comes to the end of a chapter, it's right at the point where something's about to happen, but she won't tell you what it is until you turn that page and get into the next chapter.
I have the
but
same
you have
habit.
To turn the page. I bet a lot of you reveal your characters through your action, too. So I'm going to throw that question out to our guest and start with Jen. Tell me one instance or an example where you revealed a particular quirk of a character or personality trait of that character through action. And which character was that in what book?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of quirks of character. Okay. In the new one, in Apathetic Avengers, one of the new characters, Edgar, he can't figure out what his superpower is. And he figures it out when two of the other characters are about to get really, really injured. And he also, not only does everybody else find out what he can do, but he finds out what he can do. So he didn't even know he could do that yet. So,
we learn what his superpower is in the heat of the moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And just for everybody to know, that's her new book, Apathetic Avengers, which is a young adult superhero.
It's a co-written with Aurora Zani. So,
that's awesome. I love the cover.
Thank you.
Yeah. I probably should. Wait, did you create the cover?
Yes, that is one of my covers.
As I try to whisper it on radio like nobody can hear me, did you make it?
That's my cover. That's my cover. Stop.
Yes, she is also very talented with covers, just so everybody knows. And what about you, Miss Kelly?
I think the most obvious for me is in Tropical Dreams, the first book in my Tropical series. In the very beginning, you don't know, you know, who David Murphy is. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? And it's not until the first action scene where his motives and who he is as a person is revealed through, you know, what, you know, his saving of the heroine the first time. And that's how I built his character was, you know, you didn't know who he was. It was kind of iffy. And then I just kind of threw that out there that, you know, through that action scene where, you know, she was about to be run down by a car, I do that a lot, too. He'd blow stuff up and hit people with cars.
I think Guy Ritchie would like to do your books into a movie.
Probably, because there's a lot of, if it's not gunfire or kidnappings, I'm hitting people with cars. I'm, you know, blowing the buildings up.
Well, if you talk about blowing things up, you probably want Michael Bay.
Yeah, oh, that's...
Yeah, I blow up nightclubs, so...
If you're going to go to the extreme, go to the extreme, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that was the whole premise of the book. It's so funny because after I had my bad guy, the whole part of that book was blowing up that nightclub. That was it. That was the key part of it.
You just gained a whole new demographic for your book. Every guy that looked at that and said, oh, it's a romance. No, dude.
And you know, my covers are so, I mean, they're tropical. It's a tropical theme, but I get that a lot where people say, oh, I thought it was a girly book. I wasn't expecting, you know, you to kill almost 200 people. I'm like, well.
We're going to have to put, like, some stuff in the background of your tropical beaches, you know, something on fire.
You know, I think I'm going to have to because a lot of people don't realize that the romance is the second story. It's not the main storyline.
Yeah.
It's the action. It's the suspense. It's the murder attempts.
I'm telling you, Lock, Stock, and Tropical Dreams.
And I have to say, my main character is a badass.
Oh, see, now, every guy listening, you need to read Kelly's books, Tropical Dreams and Tropical Nightmares.
Yep.
Plus, she's a Longhorns fan because she's definitely, you know, a guy's pick right there.
I am.
Oh, no.
Give me college football and beer, and I'm happy.
You might get. She's going to get wedding proposals after this.
Well, I may have to weigh that against my current husband. Let's see what happens from there.
It never hurts to be asked. It's always good.
That is true. You never know.
Oh, I love it. Jamie has some really good kick-butt characters in her books, and so I want to ask Jamie to pick out her favorite kick-butt character and how she has revealed something about that character through the story, through the action.
Oh, God.
I know which one she better pick.
Oh,
I know
gosh.
Who my favorite
is. There's so many. I think I live vicariously through my characters. I have a very boring life. Well, no, I have a wonderful husband, and I do a lot of great, rewarding work on the side. But But I'm stay at home, and I have my two dogs, so I have a very quiet, easy life, and I think I live vicariously through them, especially the female heroines. So all of them are very near and dear to me. I think I'm probably going to get hate mail here, but I think Frankie from PBI Case Files.
I know
a lot of people wanted to hear Rebecca from the Winter Saga, or, you know, but
Gabriel.
Frankie from, oh man, he is so hot. he is one hot little werewolf, but I think Frankie from the PBI Case Files, I really like her because she's the little sister to Sarah, and Sarah was supposed to be the main character, and Sarah is the scientist and all this stuff, but Frankie just is really kick butt, and from the very beginning she was kick butt from the very beginning. She had no problem protecting her sister while her sister was half drunk, barely able to stand, and smashing her fist into her boss's, who she later finds out is a vampire, smashing her fist into his face and, you know, drop kicking him, and then has no problem taking on anybody. So her character really develops throughout the story, and I think that's why she endears herself to me, because first she starts out as a regular human, and then she gets poisoned by a zombie virus, an Ebola mutated virus that makes her eat flesh, and then she doesn't want to live like that, and so she decides not to eat flesh, and then she gets mated to a werebear who never told her, so now she hates him, and then she's got all these superpowers she's developing. So her character develops throughout the book.
Yeah. And she's very physical, and she uses that her physicality to work through her emotional issues, which I find interesting.
She does, and I think that I seriously have actually contemplated taking martial arts classes just for her character research.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, me too.
That would be very cool, and I think you should blog about it.
I think so. And so that kind of makes me ask the question to everybody else. Do you guys find that you, and I hope I'm not skipping around, but it does make me ask the question, do you guys find that you get more involved in reality by taking martial arts classes or going out and shooting guns just so that you can build the action around your characters?
Oh, yeah. I know I do a lot of research, and I will reach out to people. Even recently I reached out to a renowned criminologist who does criminal profiling for serial killers for an upcoming book. And, yeah, you reach out, you try things, you think, is that possible? Can I do it? Or if it's something illegal, then you just want to ask somebody who can give you some good advice about it. You know, you don't want to get in trouble. I don't know. I don't know if I could explain book research away to a cop, but, you know.
I'm still waiting for the FBI to knock on my door.
Oh, you and me both.
Oh,
well, you
no.
know, for me, I'm married to a Marine. So a lot of it, he'll probably kill me for admitting this, but, you know, he will actually help me act out some of the, you know, the hand-to-hand combat or the different scenes so that I understand from a physical point of view. I mean, he doesn't hit me. I just mean, you know, how to move and things like that. But in Tropical Nightmares, I needed to put somebody in the sleeper hold so that, you know, and he actually did that to me. Now, he didn't put me completely out, but he did, you know, put me in the hold so that, you know, I could realistically feel where the arms were on the throat and how, you know, how it feels to be in the hold, but also he taught me how to do it to him so that I could experience and write realistically how it happens. So I do a lot of that with him.
And that's strangely, that's kind of sexy.
It actually is.
I have to agree, that's kind of sexy.
What
do they call that, breast play now? Is that like breast play? Is that what they call it, ladies? I'm not sure.
I think so.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be role play.
It's just role playing, I think, because of the fact that he's
helping you with research, and he's a Marine because, you know, we love men in uniform. So.
Oh, let me tell you.
No arguments in the quarter.
Love my Marine.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to have to hear this. He's listening, right?
Actually, he's in the other room, but he will. He listened last week, and I got hell for the personal protector.
That was the best. That was the best. Did we ever hear back from the Longhorns on that?
Well, you know, speaking of that, he was out of town this week, and he ran into Coach, the running back coach. And they were talking about it, and he was like, my wife. So from what I understand, it's now going through the locker room.
Oh, you know what? You've risen to fame. You are now locker room chatter for the Longhorns. That's awesome.
For those of you that are not familiar with what we're talking about, you'll have to check out our past show because it was definitely an interesting conversation around personal jewel protectors.
See, we do have fun.
How about you, Jen? I mean, with all of your characters that you write and everything, do you find that you do personal research? Do you get out there and experience things as well when you're writing these action scenes?
I tend to be more a researchy type person, as in I go into wiki holes and never come out. I don't really, like, if I really need to, I will go out and find someone who does martial arts to help me with some of the moves, but a lot of times I just verify the physics and the biology of what I'm doing, and I go from there. So there are things, of course, that I do actually go out and check, like, if I'm doing a location.
Mm-hmm.
I have an entire book that's set in Chicago, and I've never been. So I was, like, researching, Googling, you know, talking to my friends, you know, would this be possible, would this be possible, what's the name, what's the nickname of this street, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm more of a computer nerd than a hands-on kind of nerd, but I am eventually going to have to take some kind of martial arts because I have ninjas coming up, and I need to do some jujitsu or something to figure this out.
Oh, awesome.
I actually know somebody who could help you out with the jujitsu. And he's a gigolo, as in from Showtime's TV show. And before everybody asks, oh, my God, how does she know a gigolo? I interviewed him. I did not hire him. I interviewed him.
Sure you did.
The mind was already going there.
Nick Hawk, this is a shout-out to you and your jujitsu. We may be calling on you for some author help here. That's what we're going to call it from now on.
I'm interviewing for being a gigolo. I could use that in my book.
Heck yeah.
You know, I was going to say, Jen, one thing I did when I was, before I decided that I thought I was going to take martial arts is YouTube has the greatest videos on how to learn how to do some of these moves. So if you're into research and just doing it at home, you might want to check out some of those videos on YouTube too, because they have some great learning videos about how to do some of these physical action movements.
Yeah, I did a lot of research. One of my characters decided to use a Manriki, so I had to do a lot of research on that. So.
Although I think I'd rather talk to the gigolo, but
it's a Manriki Gosari. It's a it's a throwing ball. Like in Kill Bill, she has the blade on the outside of it.
Yeah,
that's a Manriki Gosari. That's a throwing ball with a chain. They normally don't have chains quite that long, though.
That's pretty cool. Oh, yeah. Like that stuff that Go-Go threw.
Yeah.
Is that what her name was?
Well, yeah, Go-Go Denari. She's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love those movies, so.
Oh, God, yeah. Inside and Out, the best girl fight scene ever.
Yeah.
Oren Ishii.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Best girl fight. And film.
I love it. I love it. Hats off to Quentin Tarantino on that one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
so,
okay, so that's one question. Like, do fans like girl fights more than guy and girl fights or guy and guy fights? I mean, that's a definite something that would be an interesting question to ask our fans, our listeners out there.
Absolutely.
Do we have any listeners that want to answer that question?
Yeah, anybody listening, do you like the girl-on-girl fights best, or do you like the guy-on-guy fights, or do you like to see a girl kick a guy's butt? Let us know at hashtag C2CJM.
That could get ugly.
I can imagine. I think I have a feeling I know what we're going to hear. When you watch TV and movies, people seem to like those girl on girl fights for some reason.
The girl on the girl, the girl on girl, and the girl on guy, where the girl's kicking his butt.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just,
empowerment.
I'll go back.
Keep thinking of it. There's a scene in the Ant-Man trailer where he's like, "You can teach me how to punch. You can teach me how to punch," and she just punches him right in the face.
Because we just like stuff to come out of the blue like that. It's funny. It's funny.
The girl from Avengers, is it Black Widow?
Black Widow, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She is awesome.
She's amazing.
And
have
you know
seen
what
the new one? Because that's just awesome, too.
I haven't seen it yet. Who's seen it?
Oh, God, me.
Yeah? There was
yeah,
another.
Yeah.
There's a new one.
The new
one, the Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new one yet. I've only seen the trailers, but I am a total Avengers nerd. Love
it. There was some chatter on that. There was people were just, I don't know, I guess some people just aren't very happy with everything, but they didn't think that Black Widow got enough screen time, and they started calling Joss Whedon sexist and racist and all kinds of things. I mean, just really, really extreme.
Joss Whedon is. The last thing Joss Whedon is sexist. Absolutely. The absolute last thing he is.
Oh, I know. He brought us Buffy, the most kick butt prime time chick ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
I
want to
see him do Black Widow and Hawkeye's Budapest.
You remember
like
Budapest. Very different than I.
And if you guys haven't seen it, look online on YouTube for Jeremy Renner doing Hawkeye on Jimmy Fallon, singing his life story to the tune of Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud. It was hilarious. Everybody look for that. Hilarious.
The Family Feud on Jimmy Fallon had me in tears. Did you see that?
Everything he does has me in tears. He's hilarious.
I did start watching that, and then I got so uncomfortable that I had to shut it off. I get wigged out by stuff like that. I don't know why, but I'll watch the rest of it eventually.
Oh, my gosh.
Just to stare at Chris Evans for a while, if no other reason.
Yummy. I think we all should just get together right now after the show and go see Age of Ultron. That's all.
I agree.
Yes. Since we're on the action, though, but how much we've talked about a lot of pre-planning and everything, but a good question is, have you ever written one of your characters into a corner where the action made it difficult for that person to be able to escape? Did you have trouble writing them out of a situation? And we'll start with Kelly.
I did and I didn't. I got my heroine kidnapped, and I got her away, but there were a couple of places where I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to pull off or rescue. So, and have it come out the way I wanted it to come out. They really weren't cooperating. So, yeah, I got her kidnapped and then wasn't exactly sure how I was going to get her out of it without getting my two main characters killed.
Yeah, it is tough. It is tough.
Which would have ended my author career because nobody would have ever read another one of my books if I'd have killed those two off.
Yeah, you don't want to make your fans unhappy. And what about you?
They are in my upcoming third book in the Tropical series. Some people are going to be disappointed. There's a twist coming they aren't going to expect.
Dun, dun, dun.
Somebody does die.
We're too poor to have actual background music, so I have to do it.
There you go.
So, Jen, have you ever written one of your characters into a corner that you couldn't get them out of or had trouble getting them out of?
I did it intentionally to one of them, and it took me a while to figure out how exactly I was going to get it out, but it was intentional. Other than that, I'm trying to think, there's so many characters that get written in the corners. So many characters to write into corners.
Because that's what creates suspense.
Yeah,
hey, my characters
really does
like to play in corners.
Yeah, I mean, I have superheroes, so they get in all kinds of deep crap all the time. So
getting them out is the challenge, not so much getting them in, but getting them out.
Getting them out, yeah. I mean, so one of them, you know, you have to choose. You have a choice. You can either stay kidnapped or reveal who you really are. You know, those are always fun conundrums. I like doing those. Are you going to stay kidnapped or are you going to reveal who you are to this person who should have known all along?
and identity, keeping the identity secret is a big part of being a superhero, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of the requirement.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless you're Tony Stark.
Well, he's too egotistical.
Yeah.
He wants everybody to know who he is all the time.
I think I would, too. If I had a superpower, I'd want everybody to know it was me.
I would not. No
good
way.
That's a good question. We're going to have to explore that one and deal with superpowers. But, Jamie, what about you? Have you written a character into a corner, got them into a situation where the action was difficult to write them back out?
Yeah, many times. I think sometimes I try to challenge myself when I'm writing a book to put them into a worse situation than the last character, the last book I wrote, just to challenge myself. And then I the hardest part is that you have to stick around the rules that you created, and especially because I write paranormal, especially with a paranormal, you've created these rules that this character has this power and it's helpful in this situation, but it's not helpful in this situation. So usually what I wind up doing is having somebody come in to the rescue. But I've also got some human characters I've written into past books, like Genie's Treasure, which is part of the Windswept anthology at Bokoop. But Genie's Treasure is a brother and sister human, and then he goes out and they find this genie, and of course the romance is between the brother and the genie, the sister gets backed into a corner all the time, and he refuses to make a wish. And finally, the whole reason why he finally made a wish was because his sister almost died. So I wasn't going to let him make a wish through the whole story, but I had no other choice but to let him make that wish. And so sometimes you just have to use the additional characters to just kind of work through it. I do that a lot. How about you, Michelle? Do you back people in or your characters in the corner?
Oh, yeah. Well, in book two of my criminal erotic series, Elsa Kreis, who's my main character, she is taken captive, and she's strapped down, so she can't free herself. And as I was writing it, I sent in my detective, Joseph Hines, to rescue her, but then he gets captive, gets taken and held captive. So I thought, well, I can see how that happened, but now how am I going to rescue both of them? And, gee, now what? But, of course, there's other characters, and that is where these secondary characters got to shine, and it revealed more of their character and who they are when they were working, because they were working with him. It's just that they were sort of background, but I had to bring them to the foreground so that everybody could see who they are and what they can do. And I had to arrange that so that they would actually be the ones that would set them both free and work that into the story. And that of course, led to a really marvelous police chase from Berlin to Hamburg. And that was very interesting. But, yeah, you know, I thought, wow, you know, sometimes when you're writing, and I know each one of you is going to nod your head and say, yep, things happen where your fingers are just going in this direction ahead of your brain almost. Your character is leading you on this journey more so than you're leading that character. And sometimes they run ahead and we have to catch up. And then next thing you know, the story has twisted and changed just a little bit from where I thought it was going. And I have to decide, do I want to keep going in that direction or try to rein it back in and bring it back to the track I was on? So, but it has to work with the story. So, and that's what happened.
Well, I think it has to flow with the characters too. You know, it's not something that once you've developed this character and given them a personality, if they're not willing to do that, then it's kind of hard to make them do something that's not in their nature to do. It's like they come alive and they're their own person.
Exactly. And yeah. and we're not, like I said, they're leading their own way at that point. So.
And that makes character growth. And that makes character growth. And I think readers really enjoy, a lot of times, I think they enjoy that character growth just as much as they enjoy the rest of the book, you know, the storyline, the plot twist, the action. But I think characters really enjoy growing, or readers really enjoy growing with those characters too, and that's where that character growth comes in, I think.
Yeah, if you don't have a character that grows, the book is not worth diddly squat. Because every character has to change, even minutely, to keep your audience interested in them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're beating a dead horse.
Right, because all the action
and over
is around them.
Right.
Everything that happens around them is shaping who that character is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And like with the action part of it, you know, I use a lot of the mental action as well, the mental games and the, you know, the one-upmanship and who can outthink as well as, you know, out-action the other one. And I write from three points of view when I'm writing my stories, and that is my heroine, my hero, and my bad guy. So you get to see why he thinks the way he does and why he plays the games that he does and how they react to that. And so I use a lot of the mental game as well as the action scenes to keep the suspense going, to keep the action going.
Yeah. That's
interestingly
true.
Enough, I have never written from one of my villains' perspectives, ever. It's an interesting concept. I don't do it because I figure that some of mine are really screwed up and I don't want to get in their heads. Some people want to go in there.
Oh, it's self-preservation. That's what it is.
Yes. You know,
well, I think I'm probably a little nutty because my bad guy is always the first one I create. So no. I know where he's going before I know how my main characters are going to react to him. So I think I get into his head so much to figure out, you know, why he's doing what he does that I have to write from his point of view. I don't think I could write without it.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I start my books usually with the bad guy when I'm writing the suspense.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts right there where I want to start at the most disturbed point because, let's face it, we're sick people and we like that sort of stuff and it'll keep us reading.
Well, you know, I got a lot of flack for doing that. I wrote Tropical Nightmares, which is the second book, and I started it from my bad guy's point of view and what he was thinking and what was going on with his head and how he was interpreting the action that was taking place. And a lot of people were like, why did you start with him? I'm like, well, because he's the key, you know. Everything, he's driving the story.
Right. Oh, yeah. And even though they probably were very disturbed by it, if they sat down and thought about it for a minute, they would realize that's exactly what kept them going reading it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Let's see what that crazy dude would do next.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, let's see, where are we at here? I know, we're just
like,
going all over. With the, there's so much action going on, ladies.
Keyboard, fingers ready, action. It sounds like a lot of us use our action to pull our story forward. So that kind of makes me ask the question, how much pre-planning of action do you put into your books and your stories?
I actually write my action scenes first. I write all of the action scenes because, I mean, mine, that's what they are. They are murder mystery suspense novels. So I write all of that first. And then once that's done, I go back in and do the filler, you know, the romance side of it, the character interaction between the action scenes. That's all written last. But generally, I most typically write the ending first because I know, you know, how I want it to end, and then I go back and write the action scenes, and that drives the story, and then I write the filler.
Okay.
I write linearly. I start at point A, and I go to point B, and then I go to the end. I've always been a pantser. A lot of times I start stories, I have no idea how they're going to end. I may have an idea somewhere halfway down the line that X has to happen in order for the story to really work. But 99% of the time when I write books, I write the first word first and the last word last. There's no occasionally I'll go back and throw in an extra chapter somewhere if I feel like something needs explaining, but very rarely do any kind of real plotting before I start writing.
You know, I'm a lot like you in that aspect, Jen, is that my stories, I develop the characters first and then let the characters run the story until I need to add the action in because the characters need some conflict. But I usually go linear, too. I go from beginning to end, and then I'll go back before I turn it over to editors. I'll go back and I'll read it from beginning to end again, and then that's when I'll add the additional stuff. But I'm a lot like you in that aspect, Jen. How about you, Michelle?
Well, for me, it's almost spontaneous when it happens. It just depends on what's going on with the story because I always start out with the idea, and I choose a point from which to start. Sometimes that will remain the starting point, but there are times where that might end up actually being my second or third chapter because I'll want to go back and I'll say, oh, no, I need to fill this in back here. Or maybe this would be a better starting point after, you know, writing this particular area. But the action of it, for me, it happens in the moment. Once my characters go into confrontation, I have to decide how deep that confrontation is going to be, how deep does it need to be? And does it need to be violent? Does it need to be physical? Does it need to be mental? And it's driven for me by the characters. So when I'm working with the story, it's all dependent upon their particular personality quirks. How have they already reacted to something in the past? Or how are they likely to react? And that's how it works for me. And once I start going in a direction where it's getting heated and it gets crazy, I don't want to drag it out, but I don't want it to be too short. I want it to have a lot of good impact. And then, of course, that's where the research comes in, because I want to make sure that something's correct if I'm using a weapon or hand-to-hand combat, or just how should somebody react in a situation like this or how will they usually react in a situation? I'll ask a lot of people, if this happened to you, what would you do first? You know, and I want to get a consensus on that. But for me, the action is not usually pre-planned. I know it's going to be a book that has action in it. How much is going to be dependent upon the story, the characters, and their interactions with each other. What about you, Jamie? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely linear in that. And, you know, again, it's about the, you know, driving the plot. I think for me, the action is just about driving the story. I mean, I really like my characters to drive, but the action is what pushes it along, I think.
Well, again, you can have gratuitous action just like you can have gratuitous sex.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know,
That's a good point.
It is. I mean, if you've ever watched something, it's like, why? I think it was one of the Mission Impossibles I was watching. It's like, this is too much. There's too much going on here. I can't follow anything.
Right. It has to be realistic.
It does. It has to be realistic. It has to be, okay, this, and this can happen, but now you're throwing in five other things in this soup, and all of a sudden my soup is a sludge. You know, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can happen. Well, I think for me, the reason I do it the way that I do is because there's so much suspense and multiple possible bad guys, because I don't really want to reveal who the actual bad guy is. I have to be more able to plot it out because I don't want to have any holes, you know,
right,
in the action or, you know, a hole in the conspiracy. I have to know where those threads are and tie up all the loose ends. And I don't know how else to do that other than to just plot it all out. Sometimes my characters will throw me for a loop and something will happen differently, and I can flow with that and rewrite it, but I have to have at least the conspiracy part of it lined out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than going back and reading and finding a plot hole so big you could drive a truck through it.
Oh,
yeah.
The worst feeling. It's like, wow, look at that.
It's like somebody breaking your heart because you know you got to sit down and close. You got to do some surgery on that thing and close up that hole.
Yeah. Usually involves throwing things around before you can figure it out, you know. Flipping tables and such.
I think that's what takes me so long to write when I'm writing, because some people can sit down and just write continuously, but I have to really think about stuff. I have to marinate on it for a while, and I know when to sit down and write again because the thought will come to me, oh, that's what I should do right there, and that lines up with that and ties into that, and then you have this beautifully woven story going forward.
I'm the same way. It takes me forever to write, but that's why. Or I'll go back and say, okay, no, there's no way his arm goes there while his leg is down. Yeah, you have to. You got to think about it and make sure that, but I write realistically. So if somebody's doing something that isn't physically able or there's no way, then I don't want that to be a glaring hole in my story. So I
suddenly
have to think
it out.
Suddenly
he grows a third arm.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How is he holding the gun and he's got her in the sleeper hold and he's got a knife at this guy's neck and all of a sudden you realize your guy's got eight arms.
Yeah. And he dialed for pizza.
Superhuman.
That dude's got talent. So yeah,
what's holding that knife with?
Like,
you know?
This is where readers start to realize just how difficult it is to make something happen in a book, so that when you're reading it, you are mentally seeing it correctly, because we are painting a picture for you. We're creating a whole movie for you to watch in your mind.
Yeah,
and
right.
It has to be correct.
Oh, it does. And there's been times, you know, my husband has read scenes for me and gone, yeah, right, that's not happening. So it's like, all right, well, then you have to tell me how it really happens, because in my mind, that's how I see it happening, and you're telling me it's impossible.
Yeah, so why is it impossible? so I can fix that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's normally when his arm snakes out around my neck or something, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, I like this next question because this next question is really good. And I think I know the answer to it from most of our standpoints, but do you like creating heroines that need to be rescued in action scenes? Or do you prefer, or is it more about writing heroines that can kick butt in action scenes and rescue themselves? And we'll start with Miss Jen.
All of my heroines can kick ass. I'm just going to say that right now. They do get into positions where they need rescuing, but 90% of the time, they rescue themselves. They are all about rescuing themselves. And, in fact, usually end up rescuing some of the heroes.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Well, my big main character, who's coming, she's coming. She starts out in one of the books coming up. She starts out as kind of really, really not focused on what she's doing. And by the end, by the end of the whole cycle of the story, she's actually saving the big heroes. You know, she's actually, like, yelling at them because they've gotten themselves into this position. Or, you know, you're an idiot for doing that. Why did you do that? So, I definitely like superheroes as a superheroine. And the heroine who can rescue themselves. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also like to put them in peril at the same time. So.
Oh, yeah. They have to have peril.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, because I don't think any of us write Bella Swan-type characters. And not that I don't love Swan. You know, I was a Twilight fan fiction girl, but I've never written a weak character, a female character. What about you, Kelly?
No, my female characters are strong, and I think given the opportunity, they would definitely be able to save themselves. But I'm partial to that He-Man hero that comes in and saves the day, whether she needs it or not. So I write very mentally, emotionally, and physically capable women because I think that, you know, all women are capable of that, and they need to see that in our characters. But also, you know, there's also that side of it where, you know, with my male characters, they're the macho, I'm going to come rescue my woman, and they don't really stop to realize that she doesn't necessarily need rescuing, but he likes to do the rescuing. So, yeah, strong women, but you got to have that man come in too.
Yeah, it's a partnership.
Well, it is, and I think that a lot of my heroine reflect my husband and I because he is that macho protector, and so even though he knows I can take care of myself, that doesn't mean he's not going to come running to my rescue if he thinks I need it.
Aww.
Well, I'm married to a Marine, you know.
That's right, that's right. Marines are the first in, right?
That's right. First in, last out.
That's right. Well, we're getting real close on time, Jamie, so should we go ahead and go to the personal question of the day?
Oh, Lord.
Yes, go for it. Go for it, Michelle. Michelle's corner.
All right. Well, it's not too personal, but I thought it would be fun. Starting with Jen, because you have admitted to being the computer nerd and you write the superheroes. What is your favorite nerd girl game?
Nerd girl game?
Yeah. Computer game, board game.
I don't know. I'm a puzzle person. I like puzzles, like the Sudoku and stuff like that. I actually don't play a lot of video games. I mean, the last video game I really and truly played was like Star Fox.
Okay.
I'm like Super Nintendo.
Okay.
So, that's about where I am, you know.
Dungeons and Dragons or anything like that.
No, I never really into any of that. I'm a Star Wars nerd. Like,
oh, well, that's good.
Oh,
yeah.
So such a nerd, such a Star Wars nerd.
Okay.
It's not even funny.
Oh, man. All right, Miss Kelly, are you ready? I'm going to go
easy.
I'm ready.
Okay.
What other genre would you like to tackle in writing and why?
I think I would like to tackle paranormal or supernatural, the, you know, because I think it would be fun to kind of create my own little universe and my own little heroes and things like that. But I haven't quite come up with a storyline yet that hasn't been done. But when I do, that's my next project. The next genre I will tackle is the paranormal.
And you're still going to blow stuff up, right?
Probably.
Okay, cool.
It just would not be my books if I didn't blow something up.
That's right. I think I'd be disappointed.
Well, you know, I'm writing this. I'm writing a woman's lit book, and it is about, you know, a mother and her son. And I don't get to blow anything up, and it's really disheartening.
Oh, gosh.
I may have to blow something up just for me, but, you know.
Short story, we're ready. Let's do it. All right. Miss Jamie, turning it over to you, ma'am.
Well, we're about 4 minutes out, so let's go ahead and get everybody's links where people can go ahead and find your books. Go ahead and start with Jen.
You can find me under jrosealexander.com. I'm on Facebook at jrosealexander.com. I'm on Twitter at jrosealexander.com. I looked out with all of this. All of my books are on Amazon. And I do have, I have hopefully another one coming out in June called Penumbra. So we'll see where we go from there.
All right. Miss Kelly.
If it's on social media, I'm there under Kelly Cazone. You can find me at kellycazone.webly.com, and you can find all of my books on Amazon.
All right.
And Michelle?
Oh, yeah. You can definitely find me on Amazon under Michelle E. Gwynn. Also on Facebook. I have a Facebook fan page. And Twitter under mgwynnexaminer.com. You can find me on Smashwords, on Kobo, and you can definitely come visit me on my website at michelleegwynauthor.com. And Miss Jamie.
And you can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, at, well, actually, let me spell my name, J-A-M-I, Brumfield, B-R-U-M-F-I-E-L-D. You can find me at Jamie Brumfield Author on Facebook. Jamie M is in Mary Brumfield on Twitter. And when you go to my Facebook account, if you click on the sign up link, you can sign up for my newsletter. And I like to give away monthly subscriber giveaways on my newsletter. So definitely sign up for that if you get a chance. You can find me on Amazon at Jamie Brumfield and Blogspot Jamie Brumfield as well. And ladies, this was a great show. Anyone have anything else to add?
Brian Lane, I would love to marry you, sweetheart, but I'm already married. Thank you, though.
I was wondering if you saw that.
I did.
I told her she would get marriage proposal. See?
And I did. You have made my day.
This has been a great one. We've covered so much.
Yep.
We have. And join us next week as we discuss horror in novels, May 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern. We hope to see you there. And if there's nothing else to add, I guess, Michelle?
Well, I guess, Jamie, we will
catch you on the flip side.
Our timing sucks. Good night.
Good night.